Welcome to BibleBap.org and the Sermon Archive Ministry of Bible Baptist Church of Monroe, Georgia. For over 45 years, the Bible has been faithfully preached from the pulpit of Bible Baptist Church each week. 1 Corinthians 1:21 reminds us that it is by the preaching of the Word of God that men and women are saved. We trust you will be blessed and encouraged by the preaching ministry of our senior pastor, Greg Butler, the church staff, and guests who fill the pulpit at Bible Baptist Church. Let's open our Bibles now as God's Word is opened and preached to us.
Take your Bible, open this morning to a passage about music. Go with me, please, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, and verse number 18. Ephesians, chapter 5, and verse number 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. This morning, if you make notes in your Bible, I hope you'll jot down something to this effect: the marvelous ministry of music. Let's pray together. Father, it's been wonderful already to be here. Thank you for those who have studied and prayed and opened your word in the Bible fellowship hour. Thank you for the faithful teaching of your word, for the edifying of the saints, for the calling of the lost to Christ. And Lord, we ask now your continued blessing in this service. Our hearts have been moved. Our hearts have been stirred. We thank you for what you've done in us. And Lord, I pray today that you would bless the preaching of your word. I ask, Lord, that you'd speak to my heart those things that will help us. Lord, I pray today for the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach your word, for which there is no substitute. In Jesus' name, amen. Throughout the scripture, we see that God's people, when God's people are in a right relationship with God, God's people are a singing people. They are a musical people. If you notice in your Bible that Moses led the children of Israel in singing glory to God following the deliverance from Pharaoh and his army at the Red Sea, that's in Exodus chapter 15, verses 1 through 19. But when Moses had led the men in singing, then his sister Miriam came, and she led the women of Israel in singing in the following verses of that chapter. The entire fifth chapter of the book of Judges is devoted to the recording of a song that was sung by Deborah and Barak following God's deliverance from Sisera and his army. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 2, the first 10 verses are devoted to recording a song that was sung by Hannah in thankfulness to God following the birth of her son Samuel. The women of Israel sang in celebration of David's victory over Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse number 6. 2 Samuel chapter 22 records David's song of thanksgiving and deliverance from the hand of his enemies. 1 Chronicles chapter 6 verses 31 through 48 record that David set men over the service of song when the ark was brought to Jerusalem in anticipation of the construction of the temple. 1 Kings 4:32 tells us that David's son Solomon himself authored 1,005 songs. We skip over, for the sake of time, to the New Testament. And there the Lord Jesus sang with his disciples following the institution of the ordinance of the Lord's Supper in Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 30. In Acts chapter number 16 and verse number 25, Paul and Silas sang in the jail at Philippi. We skip over to the end of the Bible in the book of the Revelation, chapter 14 and verse number 3. Again in chapter 15, verse number 3, the Apostle John recorded the future songs of the redeemed in heaven that will sing unto the Lord. The Bible is filled with singing. The Bible is filled with the songs of the redeemed. In fact, one entire book of the Bible is a hymn book. The book of Psalms is a collection of 150 hymns of our faith. The Bible is a singing book. It is a song book. And God's people, when in a right relationship with God, are a singing people. In addition to these things, the scripture records and identifies 13 different musical instruments. These fall into the categories of stringed instruments, wind instruments, instruments of percussion. If I counted correctly, the words music, musicians, the reference to musical instruments, songs, singers, singing, appear 575 times in Scripture. References to music are found in 44 out of the 66 books of the Bible. Part of the priestly tribe of Levi was devoted to the ministry of music. The sons of Asaph were to lead in the music in worshiping the Lord. The Scripture tells us that when Solomon's temple was built, the splendor and the musical display of the worship services increased even more. In 2 Chronicles 5 and 22, the Scripture offers an interesting account of a large group of singers and instrumentalists who arrayed in white linen gowns that took part the day that the temple was dedicated in Jerusalem. In addition to this, the Jewish historian Josephus stated in the third chapter of his eighth book that for Solomon's temple, get this, there were 200,000 trumpets. Not only that, but Josephus recorded then there were 200,000 robed singers trained for taking part in the worship services to be conducted in the temple of God in Jerusalem. I'm just saying this morning, when God's people are in a right relationship with God, God's people are a singing, musical people. We've heard this thing brought up today about what is essential and what is non-essential. And you've got some of these birds flying around, and they say, well, churches ought not to sing because it spreads germs. Folks, I don't believe that for a minute. Amen. God would not call us to do something that is a hindrance to us, that would hurt us there. And the Bible tells us that God is in the singing of His people. God expects His people to sing. And God's people, when in a right relationship with God, are singing people. Maybe the folks that don't want to sing, maybe that tells us something about the condition of their heart. God's people in a right relationship with Him are a singing people. They are a musical people. On the other hand, in times of waywardness, times of walking away from God and apart from God, singing and music are conspicuously absent from God's people. Quickly, take your Bible, go with me over to the book of Psalms, Psalm 137, and look at verse number 1, please. Psalm 137 and verse number 1. Psalm 137 and verse number 1. When God's people are out of fellowship with God, they do not desire to sing. They do not desire to worship God musically. Singing and music are conspicuously absent from God's people when our hearts are out of tune with Him. Psalm 137, verse 1. This is during the captivity of the Jews. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. They said, there's no desire for music. Our song has been taken away. Verse 3, for there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. Verse 4, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? The Scripture says that when God's people are out of fellowship with Him, singing and music are conspicuously absent. God's people are a singing people. The book of Ephesians, you know, divides in half. The first half of the book of Ephesians, first three chapters, is about the beliefs of the believer. It talks about doctrine. But beginning in chapter number 4, Paul talks about the behavior of the believer. He's moved from talking about the doctrines of the believer to the doings of the believer. And he begins that second half of the book of Ephesians in chapter number 4 and verse number 1, talking about the believer's walk. And he says in Ephesians 4 and verse number 1, walk worthy of the vocation with which you are called. In other words, the Christian's life, our conduct, our behavior should weigh as much as our public profession weighs. In other words, our walk ought to be as good as our talk. But he goes on in chapter number 4, verse number 17, talking about the walk, the behavior of the believer. He said, walk not as other Gentiles walk. He said, there ought to be a difference in the way that a Christian lives and the way that a non-Christian lives. There ought to be a difference in our behavior. In chapter number 5 and verse number 2, he's continuing to talk about the walk of the believer. He said, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. In chapter 5, verse number 8, he commanded, walk as children of light. That is, as opposed to walking as children of darkness. He says in chapter number 5, then in verse number 15, walk circumspectly. That is, carefully, showing attentiveness to avoid spiritual dangers. And when Paul here begins to talk about the circumspect walk of the believers, he identifies three areas of the circumspect walk. He says, number one, he said, if you're walking circumspectly, redeem the time. Redeem the time. He says also in that passage, understand what the will of the Lord is. And then he goes on to say, in the text we read when we opened this morning in Ephesians 5 and verse 18, he says, not only redeem the time in the circumspect walk, understand what the will of the Lord is, but he said, and be filled with the Spirit. And when he speaks of being filled with the Spirit, under this exhortation here, the Apostle Paul deals with the matter of our music. He deals with the matter of the singing of the people of God. Could I give you this morning, and the introduction is longer than the message. Could I give you three things that tell us today that singing is essential for the people of God? First, singing and music are to be offered as an expression of praise to God. What we come to church is we seek to offer an expression of praise to God when we sing. Take your Bible, go with me real quickly, please, over to the book of Psalms, the song book of the Bible. Look, please, at chapter number 9 in the book of Psalms and verse number 11. Psalm number 9 and verse number 11. The Bible tells us here that singing, music, are to be offered as expressions of praise to God. In Psalm number 9, if you found your place, verse number 11, sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. If you skip a few pages to Psalm 33, beginning in verse number 2, praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. You say, how important is singing and the playing of musical instruments in praise to the Lord? Sister Sandy sang that last song about praise. How important is it as believers that we praise the Lord? Now just, why do we sing when we gather as a church? Why do we sing? How important is it? Number one, did you know that praising the Lord is mentioned more often in the Bible than preaching is mentioned? Secondly, did you know that praising the Lord in the Bible is mentioned more often than prayer is mentioned? Old Lester Roloff used to say, there are two ways to get the power of God on the scene. He said, number one, you can pray it down. But he said, number two, you can praise him down. Praise through song, through music is essential to the worship of the Lord. Our singing, our music are to be offered as expressions of praise unto God. Listen, if you don't enjoy singing and music as part of the church worship, you will not enjoy heaven. You will not enjoy heaven, because heaven is a place of singing unto the Lord. It is a place of more glorious music than we can express with our earthly limitations. You say, how do you know that? So I thought you'd ask me. Look with me, please, at the book of the Revelation, chapter number 5. The book of the Revelation, chapter number 5 and verse number 6. Heaven is going to be a place of music. Revelation chapter 5 and verse number 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain. By the way, if you write in your Bible, the word slain here is the translation of the Greek word, which means to butcher, to maim, to kill violently. That's a picture of Jesus on the cross. Stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns, that's authority, and eyes, that's his omniscience, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. Verse 9, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals. This is the title deed of the earth. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our gods kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. If you don't enjoy singing, you won't enjoy heaven. Because heaven's going to be a place of singing. Singing, making music unto the Lord. Singing and music are to be offered as expressions of praise unto the Lord. That's why we do what we do when we assemble to worship. Real quickly, a second thing. Go back to the text where we started, if you would. Look at Ephesians chapter number 5. There in Ephesians chapter number 5, there's a second thing the Bible tells us, and that is that singing and music are to be offered as builders of our spiritual life. Singing and music are to be offered as builders of the spiritual life. What did Paul tell us here? He said, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. In other words, you cannot excess on being filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. It's telling us here that singing, music are to be offered here by believers as builders of the spiritual life. The singing reinforces the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. That's, by the way, that's why songwriters are so important. Writers of gospel songs must be bathed in Scripture, because the Scripture is the truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. It's the word of God we need. And a songwriter must be bathed in the word of God, so the Spirit of God then can give him a song. Put those spiritual truths to music there. But what happens when the word is sung? Well, go over with me a page or two to the book of Colossians, chapter number 3. Look at verse 16, if you would. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 16. As spiritual singing reinforces the word of God, how does it do it? Colossians 3, verse number 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. First it says, teaching. The word teaching here comes to in our English language from the Greek word that means to instruct. It means to indoctrinate. It means to train. It means to tutor. And so singing in the local church is a ministry here to build up the spiritual life of the child of God. It reinforces the preaching of the preacher, and it does it first by teaching. Spiritual truths are taught in song. A second thing, notice Paul went on to say, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Admonishing. Admonishing comes to us in the English language from a Greek word here that carries with the idea to put in mind. You know, a lot of times we come to church, we're really not coming with a mind to worship. We've got 1,001 other things on our minds. And we begin the services with singing. Why do we do that? We're admonishing. We're saying, all right, let's get our mind right. We're saying we need to be put in mind of those things which are true and those things which are eternal. The word admonish carries the coloring there of to put in mind. It also carries the idea of to warn. And it carries the idea of to caution. We sing, even starting with our young children, be careful, little hands, what you do. Be careful, little hands, what you do. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Be careful, little hands, what you do. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful, little feet, where you go. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful, little tongue, what you say. And what are we doing there? We are admonishing. We're taking the truths of Scripture and we're putting them in the mind of a little child, and we're admonishing them with the truths of Scripture. That's what Paul said. When we sing, we offer expressions of praise to the Lord, but we also sing, and music is used to offer up to become builders of the spiritual life of the believer. There's a third thing that happens there. Not only does the music teach us and admonish us, but then it affects the atmosphere of the church. Have you know? I remember Sister Sandy, we'd come to Glen Haven, and Stephen mentioned that. I remember our whole family one Sunday afternoon went up when you're having the Greater Vision concert there, and before the boys were born, Judy and I, we'd come to Glen Haven of the Jubilee, and I remember we'd walk in the door, and y'all had that music cranked up, and it set an atmosphere. It set an atmosphere. You say, Brother Greg, is that really scriptural? I thought you'd ask me that too. Take your Bible, please, real quickly. Go to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 16. 1 Samuel, chapter number 16. The music of our worship sets an atmosphere. It affects the atmosphere. In 1 Samuel, chapter number 16, beginning in verse number 14, the scripture says, but the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite that is cunning, skillful in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Therefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid, and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. Verse 22, and Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. What's it telling us here? It says that God uses music to change an atmosphere. When we come into the house of God and the music of the Lord is filling the room, the atmosphere is changed. It makes a difference in the atmosphere when the music of the Lord goes forth. The scripture tells us that the evil spirit departed from Saul. Elisha had a similar experience in 2 Kings. We don't have time to read it this morning. 2 Kings chapter 3, verse number 15. It came upon a day that the king of Judah, the king of Israel, the king of Edom, came to Elisha the prophet for counsel from the Lord. And Elisha was disgusted with them. He was disgusted because two kings there were reprobates. And then one, the king of Judah, had no business keeping company with the sorry crowd he was running with. And to be honest, if you put it in modern day language, Elisha was ticked off. And the scripture tells us here, 2 Kings chapter 3, verse number 15, that Elisha sought for a minstrel, that is a player of a stringed instrument to come. And as the player played before him, it calmed the perturbed spirit of Elisha so that he could hear from the Lord. Folks, it changes atmospheres when the music of the Lord goes forth. The same thing happened in 2 Chronicles chapter number 5 and verses 13 and 14 at the dedication of Solomon's temple. It changed the atmosphere from simply a building to the house of the Lord. There's one final thing that we mentioned today, that is, singing and music are to be offered as a testimony to others. The book of Psalm number 40, beginning in verse number 1, the scripture talks about the testimony that is offered to others through the music of the Lord. David said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings, verse 3. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Now here it is. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. What happened there? The singing of the song of a saint here became a testimony to others. And that's what happens when the people of God sing. The world has been making music since the days of Jubal. You read about him in the book of Genesis, chapter 4 and verse number 21. The world has made music since the days of Jubal. He was spoken of in Scripture as being the father of all such as handle the harp and the pipe. If you read history, you find out the Egyptians made music. The Greeks made music. Every notable culture in the history of the world has made music of one kind or another. But I want to tell you something, friend. There is coming a day when all of the secular music of the world is going to be silenced forever. Now get that. There is coming a day. What do they call those awards? The Grammy Awards and so forth? There is coming a day when the music of the Grammys for the secular world, it will be silenced not only for time, it will be silenced for eternity. And there will be only one kind of music heard. You say, where do you get that in the Bible? Take your Bible, turn with me, please. Book of the Revelation, chapter number 18. Revelation, chapter number 18, verse number 22. There is coming a day when all of the music that is heard, all of the songs that will ever be sung, it will be about Jesus. In Revelation chapter number 18, verse number 22, pick up in the middle of the text for the sake of time. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. Not going to hear any more of the secular music here in the New Jerusalem. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. So forth there. And it's pointing us to the fact that the song of Jesus is going to be the song that fills the ages. It is going to be the song of Jesus. The song we sing in heaven. Look over, you're in Revelation. Look over to chapter number 15, just a moment, verse number 3. Chapter 15, verse number 3. This is just one of the pictures of what goes on around the throne in heaven. Revelation 15:3, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. It is the song of Jesus that will fill eternity. And it's the singing of the sweet song of salvation that God uses as a testimony to draw others to himself. You remember what happened that night in the jail at Philippi, Acts chapter 16, verse number 22. Paul and Silas had been beaten, severely whipped. Their feet were placed in stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas in the jail, and they lift up their voices, the scripture said, and they began to praise the Lord in song. And the earthquake shook the prison, and the doors sprang open, and all the locks and everything that had been used to bound the prisoners there suddenly sprang open. The jailer was about to kill himself because to lose one prisoner meant his life would be taken. He's about to take his own life, and Paul and Silas call out, "Do thyself no harm, we're all here." And the scripture said he sprang in and he found Paul and Silas, and he had been listening to them sing. How could these men sing? They had been so beaten and their bodies are bloody and they're bruised. How could they sing to the Lord? And he falls down and he said, "You folks have something I don't have." He said, "You've got a song in the night. I don't have it." He said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul and Silas led that man to Jesus that night. He trusted Christ as his Savior tonight because of the power of a song that God gave to his people. God uses the song of the Christian as a testimony to others. The final thing I remind you of, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 19. Where we started, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in this last phrase, in your heart to the Lord. It's a biblical principle here. Our singing, our music offered to the Lord is to come from the heart. It is to begin in the heart. And what we express vocally, the scripture said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. We sing not because it's a matter of custom. We sing not because it's a routine. We sing not because it's a matter of formality. We sing not because it's a matter of ritual. We sing because it is an expression of the heart. And God has dealt with our heart, and we offer the fruit of our lips, which is praise unto his name. Have you ever considered how God uses a song? Everyone here has heard something at least about the story of the evangelist Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday was the greatest evangelist in the history of America. You read about the crusades that he preached, and I've been getting some things on the internet lately and sharing them with Judy, talking about in Billy Sunday meetings, how they would go into a city, large cities of America, and they would count the numbers of people being saved in the tens of thousands. Whether you're talking about in New York or Pittsburgh or wherever, the power of God was on Billy Sunday. Do you know how Billy Sunday got saved? Billy Sunday, who was playing baseball with Chicago Cubs, was outside a rescue mission, and a song came out from the doors of that mission, and there were some people singing a song, "Oh, Where Is My Wandering Boy Tonight?" It was a gospel song that Billy Sunday used to hear his mother sing on the Iowa farm where he grew up. And God spoke to Billy Sunday's heart out on the sidewalk, and he said to the members of the Chicago Cubs who were with him that night, he said, "Fellas," he said, "I'm going in that door and I'm never coming back." He said, "I'm giving my heart to Jesus." He went inside the rescue mission. Somebody opened the Bible with him, told him how to be saved. He trusted Christ. It began with a song that he heard. A gospel song moved the heart of Billy Sunday. You know, Fanny Crosby, the songwriter, Brother Stephen, she wrote, what, maybe 8,000 songs? 9,000 gospel songs? The blind songwriter, you know, and the choir singing some of her things now that have recently been discovered. You know how Fanny Crosby got saved? She was invited to a revival meeting. Two previous nights, she had gone to the altar, and nobody had told her how to be saved. She didn't understand. And her heart was so desperate. And the third night she was there and the invitation was given and she went to the altar and she didn't know what to do. Nobody was there, a personal worker, to tell her how to trust Christ. But the song leader said, let's sing the song that said, alas, and did my Savior bleed? And did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith. There by faith. I received my sight. And the burden of my heart rolled away. And Fanny Crosby rose. She said, I understand. And she said, I take Jesus. God uses the ministry of song. Some of you have heard the story of the missionaries with the China Inland Mission, F.W. Porteous and his wife. The Porteous couple on the mission field, they were taken captives, prisoners by Chinese bandits. They knew that they were Christian missionaries, and they led them to the top of a hill, and there was a Chinese bandit there who had a huge sword, and he was about to have the Porteous to kneel down, and he was going to decapitate both of them there. They led them to the top of the hill, and Brother and Sister Porteous there, and they heard the Chinese man say, this is the place. They understood the place of execution. But instead of crying and shrieking out, they began to sing. This is a true story. They began to sing, face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ who died for me. Face to face I shall behold him far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory I shall see him by and by. And unexplainedly the man who was about to bring down the sword and take off both their heads lowered the sword and he walked away. And Brother and Sister Porteous walked away from that hill free to tell the story how God used a song to change the heart of an executioner. Folks, we sing for a purpose. We sing to praise the Lord. We sing to reinforce the message from the pulpit. And we sing as a testimony to others that they might find in Christ what we found in Him.